Now, that's all the announcements. Again, made subject to the will of God. Let's continue with our reading and singing through the incarnation narrative. But I want to commence by inviting now Mr. Hill Reid just to come and to open our service this evening by praying. And then immediately after that, we're going to ask our brother, Mr. Tom Mawinney, to come and to read a portion from Luke chapter 2. Thank you, brother.
Pray. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we come into thy presence this evening in and through that name which is above every name, even the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank thee tonight, Lord, for Jesus. We thank thee, Lord, for the babe in a manger. Lord, that babe who was Almighty God, the Son. And Father, tonight we would worship, praise, and adore him, Jesus our Lord. Father, we thank thee, Lord, that thou hast loved the world so much that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, we pray tonight, Lord, that you will be with us, Lord. We pray tonight, Lord, that the singing of these hymns and paraphrases, that the preaching of thy word will be acceptable unto a holy God. And Lord, we do pray, Lord, that those who in this meeting tonight that don't know thee, Lord, would be challenged tonight, that you would be pleased to make them aware of heaven and of hell and their eternal destiny. And Lord, we would just ask you, Lord, to move among us through thy Spirit, Lord, that when we leave this place tonight, we would be sure that we have been in the presence of God. So, Father, be with us tonight. Continue to bless us, for we ask these things in Jesus' name, for his sake and glory. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mr. Reid. I will invite Mr. Tom Mawinney to come and to read a portion from the Gospel of Luke chapter 2.
Reading from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8, an angel came unto the shepherds, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the God of Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go now even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Including verse 16, may God add his blessing to it.
Brother, let's take our hymn books. Turn with me, please, to the paraphrase 37, as we sing the portion which our brother has just read to us, the paraphrase 37, and you'll find that on the page 158. We'll stand and sing when we get the introduction.
Thank you.
We have read and sang then all of the shepherds who were tending to their flocks by night. And as they did so, they were suddenly standing before numerous angels who were proclaiming a most excellent message. And what a privilege those angels had of declaring that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. That there is indeed peace between God and men through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you have to ask the question, why shepherds? Why shepherds? Why not people who were high, perhaps in government, who had more influence, more authority over people? Why a shepherd? Remember who the shepherds were in the Bible. They were men who were most often uneducated. They were men who lived a very simple life. They may not have had many skills. They would simply have waited on the sheep. They would have sat with them. They would have followed them. They have led them continually to places of grazing. They were simple, ordinary men. Nothing spectacular. No position in society. And we're learning something there. That the Lord isn't only interested in the high and mighty, but he has his eye upon the least of men. There's no one that's meeting tonight who cannot come to God. And that's the idea of the shepherds, the least of men. The Lord is interested in speaking and drawing you unto himself. And what a surprise it would have been to these men, uneducated, perhaps not very well acquainted with what the Bible said. They were Jewish men, and they would have had some understanding, but this may have been a whole new revelation for them. But the Lord made it clear to these men that this was a sight that they ought to drop all and come and see. Think about it. The wise men, they had a single star. And what a scene that would have been when they found that star and they would have pursued it. You think on Mary and Joseph. They had a single angel who came and spoke to them. But these rude, uneducated, simple, uninfluential shepherds, they had thousands of angels singing, and it was a display that had never been seen before. Understand that, men and women. These shepherds saw a sight that had never been seen before and has never been seen on earth since. What a scene, what a display lay before these men to draw them to Christ. I want you to see how the angel's announcement here was abrupt. It was out of nowhere. These men were that day just going to their work. And they would have begun to sit through the evening time right into the night. And everything would have been normal and usual. Maybe between themselves, taking shifts to watch and shifts to sleep. Times to rest and times to work. Times to tend to the flock, times to sit down. And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke unexpectedly through these angels. And men and women, that's how it often is. The Lord speaks unexpectedly. These men didn't get up that day thinking that the Lord's going to speak to us tonight. That's my experience as a child of God. When I came to Christ as a little boy of 5 years of age, I didn't get up that morning thinking God's going to speak to me today. It was unexpected, out of the blue. That's how the Lord often works, and pray for that, that that would be a regular experience in your own soul. And the Lord would come by suddenly. Now these men were afraid. And we read that here. Obviously they were afraid. Look at verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord. This is Luke 2 verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. Now think about the scene here. They're out in the field. There's not many people or places of safety round about them. There were no homes to run into. They're out in the fields. By the way, that would indicate that it was either spring, summer, or maybe early autumn. Not winter, when the sheep would have been in the fold. All right? But rather, here's these shepherds. They're out in the open fields. darkness of night. And suddenly the angels came, and of course they would have been afraid. The word here, accent, the Greek for fear, is the word phobos. And you know the word phobos. If someone has arachnophobia, it's a fear of spiders, phobia. These men had a phobia, but look at the previous word, the word sore. And the word sore means mighty, a mighty phobia. Now, if you're afraid of something, you might say, oh, I'm not fussed about spiders. Ah, you know, okay, maybe shoo them away. But when you have arachnophobia, if you see one walking past you, you're out the door. You're terrified. It's much more intense. That's the idea here. This was a mighty fear that came upon these men. And that was just the angels. It wasn't even God they were standing before. Imagine what it'll be like on the judgment day. We're not standing before creatures like angels. We'll be standing before the mighty gods. There will be fear over one who is so supreme and so mighty and so powerful. It was abrupt. It was a frightening experience for these men. Folks, these angels came to sing about something. They had the greatest song that possibly could be sung. At this time of year, people will sing about Santa and his reindeers. These angels were singing about the Savior who came to bring redemption. And that is a song worth singing. The Savior has arrived, and redemption is his work to accomplish. And that is exactly what he accomplished. Look at verse 10 then. You have the wording of the song. Verse 10, and the angel said unto them, first of all was his pronouncement, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Isn't that just like Mary this morning? She was rejoicing in God my Savior, she said. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. Not just Protestants, Roman Catholics, Muslims, Jews, atheists, Greeks, whatever category you want to come under, here, no matter what skin color, no matter what age, no matter what geographical location you live on planet Earth, this message is for all men to believe and to trust in. Look at verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. You see, what was born? A Savior. Where was he born? In Bethlehem, the city of David. And what was his name? Who was he? It was Christ. Look at verse 12. It speaks about this magnificent scene. The magnificent scene of the Creator, the one that we read of this morning in John 1 and last Lord's Day, who spoke and all of creation came into being. In 6 days he made everything. He rested on the seventh. But here you have that same person, the Son of God, and here he is. Look at verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The Creator. The omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent God, wrapped by his mother and Joseph in swaddling clothes to give him warmth and protection. How the Lord humbled himself to become one of us. Verse 13, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. This is God's goodwill toward men. God's free offer of salvation given to all who receive it. And then in verse 15, look at their haste. Look at their haste in verse 15. Like Mary this morning, there's no delay. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go on to Bethlehem and see this thing with haste. Verse 16 says, and they came with haste
They found Mary. They found Joseph. And they found the babe, as they were informed by the angels. Men and women, this morning, we saw those prophecies in the Old Testament. God said that the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. We saw in Leviticus that someone would come to be a sacrifice, an offering. We learnt in Isaiah that this someone would be born of a virgin and he would be a male child. We also learnt in Jeremiah that he would be the son of David. We learnt in Micah that he would be born in Bethlehem, and he's the only one who fulfilled all of those prophecies. He's born, and not only is the word of God declaring him, the angels declare that this is men and women. He wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't born where he'd be unavailable. If he was born in a palace, there would be guards, there would be gates, there would be doors, there would be a protected area. No, he was born in the manger and anybody could get in. The very cows could get in. Boom. And free access to all that would come. Is it any wonder they rejoiced? Is it any wonder they went with haste to see the babe born in the manger? We're going to now sing. We're not going to sing. We're going now to ask a next reader. They've all been male so far. So we have now the rose amongst all the thorns. We'll ask Jamie to come and read, appropriately dressed in red as well. Jamie's going to read from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Matthew 2, 1 to 12.
Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus is written by the prophet, and should And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, and art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, and sent them to Bethlehem, and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me the word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and though the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream and they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way.
Well, thank you very much, Jimmy. Jimmy had the longest reading all day, and you sure as well capable of it. Thank you, Jimmy. Let's stand together to sing the hymn number 83. The hymn number 83. As with gladness men of old did the guiding star behold, as with joy they hailed its light, leading onward, beaming bright. We'll sing all five verses.
We considered the lowly shepherds, uneducated, very simple, uninfluential men. But now we move to the other end of the spectrum. And here we have the very wise, influential, very wealthy, well-educated magi. The word magi is where we get our word magic from. Who were these men? They were, it appears, Babylonian men. And they came to know something, that there would be a Savior who would come. And they were waiting for an arrangement in the heavens above to guide them. These are men who studied the stars. These are men who were given to good knowledge. They had intellect. They were men who knew historical writings. Perhaps they were men who had studied books that Daniel had written. When Daniel was in Babylon, a wise, a good, and a godly man. Of course, he wrote his own book, the book of Daniel there. But there are references. If you go with me for a moment to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 60. And these men would have been well acquainted with ancient writings, prophecies of things that would come to pass. And undoubtedly, they would have read the parts of the Bible that were available in those days. Isaiah 60 and the verse number 1, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see, all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy son shall come from far, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephraim, all they from Sheba, shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of his language." That remarkably mirrors, even prophesies, the arrival of these strangers, these Gentiles, these king-like characters who would be led by the light and come to the light, which was Christ Jesus, bearing most precious gifts. Do you know what I find most remarkable about this portion? I think I mentioned it recently again as well. Yes, these men were led by a mysterious light, star in heaven as we have it described. But what astounds me is when they come to Herod and they announce to Herod what they had seen and who they came. Go back with me to Matthew 2, please. "And when Herod heard that there was the birth of a king, and that wise men," and here was the point that undoubtedly unsettled Herod. These were wise, influential men from Babylon, conquering cities, a place of great might, and they're coming to worship a king in his territory. But what astounds me is verse 6, "And thou, Bethlehem," because Herod had said to his religious leaders, "Where is the Christ should be born?" And they have responded, verse 5 and 6, verse 5, these priests in Jerusalem, "And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." So the priests, the scribes, the godly men, the teachers, they fully understood with great clarity that in Bethlehem would be born a king, the King of the Jews, the Savior, the Redeemer. And they have just had wise men coming
as the prophecy in Isaiah 60 said, they have come from the east, they come to visit this king, but nobody went to check for him. That still astounds me. No scribe, no Pharisee, no priest left Jerusalem to go to Bethlehem and search out for this boy. Nobody. These men should have been thrilled that the prophecies are being fulfilled, because it wasn't ignorance. It wasn't ignorance was their problem. It was just lack of interest. And tonight, could that be someone's situation here? It's not that you're ignorant to the truth. Well, you know the truth. The problem is interest. You've no interest. You've no real interest in bowing before the King of Kings, the one who came to be your Savior. You've no interest in having your sins washed away. You've no interest in having the records in heaven amended so that your sins are erased. It's not ignorance. It is lack of interest. Is the problem. It was the problem then, and the problem with so many tonight. Read on with me here. Verse 7, Herod, like his father, the devil, the old serpent, sly, scheming, sent these men to go and do his dirty work and find where this babe is born, claiming at the end of verse 8 that he would come and worship this babe, but in reality he wanted to go and execute the babe. But he couldn't do it. Like we saw last week in Revelation, the old dragon's mouth was open, trying to devour the man-child, but it couldn't do it, because this was the Son of God, came with a specific purpose to redeem his people, and redeem them he would. Now look at verse 11. This is truly excellent now. Here you have these Gentiles, Babylonian men, familiar with the scriptures, the Old Testament, verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. There wasn't exactly a great queue here. There wasn't exactly a huge amount of people they had to get tickets to get to see the babe. There was nobody else there. They walked straight in, and there he was. And men and women, this is most interesting. I appreciate some time had passed. The shepherds, we believe, would have come first, and then the wise men sometime afterwards. I'm not sure exactly when, but sometime afterwards. And when they arrived, they bowed before him. Again, fulfilling prophecy. That God's own people, the Israelites, that light will be taken away from them, and a new people be grafted in, the Gentiles. That's us, the non-Jews. And here you have these non-Jewish people bowing before the one the Jews have been waiting for from the days of Adam and Eve. And again today, I hope that is like you. Because although the rest of the world isn't interested, you would take the time out of a genuine desire to bow down, not just talk about religion, not just go to church and hear sermons, but actually worship him. That's the key difference here. Note who they worshipped. They didn't worship Mary. They didn't rip out their wee rosary beads and go through all their wee prayers. They didn't go and visit a priest first. No, they bowed not before Mary, not before Joseph, not before some saint, but before the living, breathing babe, that embryo that had grown in the womb and was now born a baby. They bowed before the living child. And of course, they gave those well-known gifts, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. We read in the book of Isaiah about Sheba. That's the queen of Sheba, and she would have brought gold to Solomon. And it was a gift worthy of a king.
That's why the Queen of Sheba brought precious things, that precious stones, precious metals, because Solomon was worthy of it. These men understood. We're not going to some local gift shop when we get to Bethlehem and get some wee trinket. No, they're given the best that they had. They're given their gold, their frankincense, their myrrh, because they valued the one whom they bowed before. They couldn't get better gifts to symbolically demonstrate their love for that person. Listen, the more you love someone, this may touch the nerve. And don't be afraid tomorrow if you open a present. That's not all that big of a deal. There can be other circumstances. But generally speaking, the more you love someone, the greater the gift will be. When you perhaps find a young couple, that's their first Christmas together, they'll go all out. They'll spend weeks and months searching for the perfect gift for their loved one. That's what these men are doing. Search for the best gifts, and they've given their best. Gold fit for a king, a kingly metal. Frankincense and myrrh, both drawn from trees and used as medicine, healing things, particularly the frankincense used for healing. The myrrh also used for embalming, and it speaks of Christ's coming death. Now, what would these things have been used for? The gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. Sorry to be incredibly practical, but I am a Balamina man after all. You see, remember, Mary and Joseph, they were about to be told, run. Run. For Herod is slaying all the children, and you better get out of here. And of course, they were fit to run with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The Lord had graciously provided them with everything they needed to manage on their journey. Isn't that heartsome for you and me? That even when persecution and problems arise, the Lord is there to provide for our need. And of course, our greatest need is provided for here, because this was Jesus Christ who was born for our salvation, born to be our Savior, the greatest treasure, the Son of God himself. Now, we leave the shepherds, we leave the wise men, and now we come to read of Simeon in the house of God. I'm going to ask now our brother Sammy Gregg just to come and to read another portion from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2.
Turning back again to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and commencing to read at the verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marvelled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing the reading of this word for his name's sake.
Amen. Brother, thank you once again. Will you turn with me then in your hymn books to the paraphrase? And it is the paraphrase 38. Paraphrase 38. We'll stand together to sing verses 1 to 8. Again, a paraphrase of the reference that our brother Sammy has read to us. That was going to be a tricky tune, but we got it. We got it in the end. And of course, there we read of old godly Simeon. And what's encouraging about this man is that he knew the Lord, but look particularly at the verses read to the verse 25. And we read that, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man he was just." The same word describing Joseph that we saw this morning. He was just and devout, waiting for the consolation, the parakletos of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. That's some testimony, isn't it? That's something you and I ought to long and pray for, to be just, to be devout, that the Holy Ghost would be upon us. Verse 26, on to this man. It was revealed by the Holy Ghost, we read, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. This is important, men and women. This is another clear means of authenticating that Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, was the Savior. Because God himself had told Simeon. Now, Simeon couldn't live forever. He had a limited lifespan. And the Lord had assured him by the power of the Holy Ghost that he would not die till the baby, till the Savior he had seen and held in his own arms. And again, Simeon that day went into the temple, perhaps unexpectedly, walking in, although he was led by the Spirit of God, we read elsewhere,
Isn't it verse 27? And he came by the Spirit into the temple, led by the Spirit. I suppose that's similar language that we read of Christ, who was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The Spirit of God was leading this man, whether he was aware of or not, I can't say for certain. But he would come into the house of God, and when he saw the child, he knew, this is the Messiah. What a scene. His life, he'd been waiting for this boy. Look at verse 28. Then, the one who was told he would see the Messiah, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, he's praising God, he's indicating this child is the fulfillment of the prophecy. Verse 29, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Why? For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. What Simeon does here is he attributes praise to God. He's praising the Lord. He's worshiping God that the Savior has come. He appreciated the goodness of God. Do you appreciate God's goodness? It's very possible that this incoming week, someone may purchase a gift for you and they may give it to you. Open it up. And it's not what you expect it to be. Anyone under the age of 16, please take note. That tomorrow, if you open a gift, it's not what you expect it to be. And you might not appreciate it all that much. Well, here's Simeon. God had given Simeon a gift and he valued it with great intensity. He appreciated the gift of God. That's clear in his praise. And I trust today you likewise appreciate what God has done. Do you? Have you sat down just to thank God and receive the gift and to draw from that gift the benefits? Listen, when someone gives you a gift, it's so that you enjoy it. And God the Father has given you a gift that you may personally enjoy that gift and derive from it the benefits that are good for you. Salvation, redemption, heaven, it's all found in the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. He attributed praise to God. He appreciated the goodness of God. He acknowledged the sovereignty of God here. He recognizes that this is the sovereign plan of God from the beginning. He's acknowledging that this is the fulfillment of a sovereign God's plan. And here you have old Simeon. He accepted his place before God. Simeon knew he was a sinner. He's going to church. He's just, he's devout. But he knows he's a sinner. And yet look what he says here. Verse 30. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. What he means by that is, Lord, I'm ready to go now. My job's done. This is what I was called to be. To be someone who would authenticate that this is the chosen child. And now my work is done. I've seen thy son, my Savior. I'm ready to go. Ready to go tonight. Could you honestly say before God, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Now lettest thy servant depart. Or does death terrify you tonight? The thoughts of leaving the scene of time, and you would not go to see a Savior, you would go to see a judge. It's a beautiful thing to be in Simeon's position here that, yes, Lord, take me home. I'm ready to go. So many people in my years here in the pulpit and they said to me as they were lying on their deathbed or coming near that stage, they would say, Mr. Brown, I'm ready to go. Ready. I remember one man saying that to me and it wasn't long before he was gone. Lying in his hospital bed, a good and a godly man that we miss here as a congregation, said, Mr. Brown, I'm ready to go. And he was. He's with the Lord now. Praise God for the great gift of salvation that is found in Jesus Christ. Now tonight I want to bring this all to a close. Turn back to Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, in the verse 6. And here's where we're going to finish. The prophecy again, which has been read tonight, Matthew 2:6, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Ruler. That babe that was born in the manger is the one that God has chosen to one day be the king who returns the second time. And he'll come as the judge of all the earth. Here's the thing, men and women. Way back there in Genesis 3:15, Adam and Eve knew that the end of the world wasn't even close. Because they knew the seed of the woman would have to come first. And he would bruise the serpent's head. So it would have to be the first coming of the Messiah. So it's not until now, this New Testament era, this Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John era right to this day, it's only now that prophecy is fulfilled. What's the next one? Second coming. He made the heavens and the earth. He came to Bethlehem to be the Redeemer. They're both fulfilled. Only one left. I'm coming again. Isn't it remarkable if you're with us this morning, and you'll know this if you weren't, but how the Old Testament so accurately prophesied everything about Christ's first coming? He has also prophesied with great accuracy his second coming. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for when the Lord returns? He comes, men and women. He comes to wrap up creation and to bring his people, his lambs, to the fold and cast others away from his presence forevermore. What an awful day it will be to hear those words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Men and women, like Mary, she worshipped the child in her womb. Like the shepherds, the lowliest of men, the wise men, they worship the Savior. It is our duty today, as Psalm 2 puts it, kiss Son. Can we turn to that Psalm? And then we'll have one hymn to finish. Psalm number 2. Psalm 2 speaks about the Father and the Son in conversation before the world began. Psalm 2. And look at the verse 7. "I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen," the unsaved. Maybe tonight you feel, well, you're not intellectual enough about the gospel. You're not good enough to be saved. Well, the Lord said he came. The Father gave the Son, the heathen, for Christ's inheritance. Now look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, kiss the Son. What does that mean? The bride and the groom, they enter into that marriage union. They kiss one another. It's not only about affection. It's demonstrating that they're in a special relationship. That's what the Lord is saying here. Enter into that special relationship with me. When you kiss someone, certainly in those days, Old Testament days, it was a mark of respect. You would bow before the king. You would kiss the king's scepter or the king's hand or whatever. You would kiss perhaps his foot or whatever the case may be. It would be a symbol of your submission. The Lord says, submit to the Son. Enter into that relationship with the Son. He came to save you. That babe is not to be taken lightly. That babe is not to be doted on only at Christmas. That babe is to be bowed before and made your own and personal Savior. Turn with me, please, to the hymn 222. 222. We'll not sing all of the hymn. We'll just sing verses 3, 4, and 6, verses 3, 4, and 6, particularly verse 6, where it says, "Lo, the incarnate God ascended, pleads the merit of his blood. Venture on him, venture wholly, let no other trust in truth. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good." 2:2, verses 3, 4, and 6. It is a magnificent privilege this evening to bow before thee. We come, Lord, to worship thee for the great gift of thy beloved Son, the only begotten Son, eternally begotten, as we saw on Wednesday night past. One who was in the form of God, but also in the form of man. Genuine God, genuine man. And Lord, tonight we pray that no one will in any way resist or be reluctant, but with haste, like the shepherds, come and bow down and worship thee. O Lord, tonight, may no other trust intrude, as we just sang. May nothing get in the way of just getting right with God. Lord, when we see the length you went to save us, even that alone should cause us concern, because, Lord, you must have saved us from something awful if you're willing to pay such a price to deliver us at all. Lord, you've saved sinners from hell. Oh God, may no one, and may no family here, find any of their loved ones damned to hell forevermore, but may each and every house and home be united in Jesus Christ. Oh God, win our families, win every individual. May no one lack interest tonight, but may all come and bow before the Son. Lord, be with us now. Bless us tomorrow. Bless us next week. Bless us next year. In Jesus' name. And Lord, even for the refreshments provided here, bless them to us. Bless our fellowship for those who remain. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. And amen. Well, thank you for coming.